2 Peter chapter 1, please. I'm so enjoying going through these books of 1 and 2 Peter and the encouragement, and really, honestly and truly, the encouragement for these last times. You know, it is a difficult world that we are a part of, but it is not an impossible world to be a part of. Okay, please understand that. Many times you might watch the news or watch what's going on in our communities and you think, this is impossible. I just can't handle this. Well, the truth is, it's not impossible. Now, it's difficult and we don't like it, but we can handle it. And God has given us what we need to be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We have that ability. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, here we are in 2 Peter. And I'm going to, for sake of time, begin in verse 8 and read down through verse, 16 or 17, something like that, this evening. But you can follow along silently. I'll read out loud, beginning in verse 8. Peter says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from that excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." As we continue to study here through 2 Peter, we ended off kind of last week in verses 9, 10, and 11, and kind of getting into verse 12 just a little bit. But I want to remind us that God wants us to be abundant. God wants us to be able to stand. He does not want us to be desolate, and he does not want us to fall. He wants us to make it through. All right? He's for you. He's for me. He doesn't want to see us take the wrong path. He doesn't want to see us trip over the stumbling blocks. He doesn't want the devil to capture us as a roaring lion and devour us. He does not want to see those things happen to you and I. Although perhaps many of those things will happen to you and I throughout the course of life. But God does not want that to be part of our lives. Now, he knows it may be part of our lives, but that's not his desire. His desire is for us to be abundant. His desire is for us to be fruitful. His desire is for us to stand, if you will, in the gap and make up the hedge. His desire is for us to see people saved, see people baptized, to see people added to the church, to bear more fruit and much fruit, right? That's God's desire for you and I. So as Peter is speaking to these dear Christians, and by the way, these are dear Christians, And these are people, for the most part, perhaps, that the Apostle Paul and his missionary group have reached over the years. All right? More than likely, that's who these Christians are. These are not necessarily Christians that Peter had a chance to witness to and lead to Christ, although in some cases, maybe he did. We know he did have interactions with the Gentiles, right? Cornelius by one name. And then, of course, he was up there in Antioch. And by the way, you know, there's a little contention there between him and Paul. But they got that sorted out. And so you understand, but that he's trying to reinforce the things that they've learned. Look at verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." And here's how he qualifies this. "Though ye know them." Okay? He says, you know these things, but I'm not going to be negligent and I'm going to put you into remembrance of these things. And then he says, "Though you be established in the present truth." Okay? Because there's an and there, right? So that though goes with both thoughts, with though they know them, and though they be established in the present truth. So he says, you're established. You know the truth, whether it was Paul or Silas or Barnabas or you know, others that preached to you and you were saved, or maybe in one of those churches that was established over the course of time, you know the truth. It's been taught to you. It's been preached to you. It's been given to you. And you're established in it. And you know it. But I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to continue to put you in remembrance of these things. You see, Peter took it seriously, what the Lord told him in Matthew chapter 28. You know, you may not have to go back there. I'm going to go back there so I don't misquote it, because sometimes I do that inadvertently. Jesus said to the disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So Peter took it seriously. He's like, these may not have been my converts, but I'm going to write an epistle to them to help them, to bring them into remembrance, because I'm not going to be negligent. And listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to take this seriously. You understand that we're supposed to learn and grow as an individual. Everybody okay with that, right? We're supposed to study the Word of God. We're supposed to show ourselves approved unto God, right? A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And you know what? We're supposed to listen to preaching and teaching, and we're supposed to study and meditate in the Word of God. Let me just ask you a question. For what purpose? Just to make ourselves better? Just to grow and be the best and closest to God that we can be? Is that the sole purpose of all that knowledge and wisdom and instruction? No, it's not. It's important for us to be right, and us to be knowledgeable, but to what end? To become a Dead Sea? No, think about it. Right? The Dead Sea is a very mineral wealthy thing, is it not? It is. But can anything live in it? No. It can't. Why? Because there's no outlet. There needs to be an outlet. So you could spend hours upon hours a day studying the Word of God, but if there's no outlet, why? I mean, yeah, you'll be spiritual and yeah, you'll be close to God, but to what purpose, right? So Peter said, "Hey, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to keep stirring you up. I'm going to keep bringing you to remembrance of this present truth. You're in it. You know it. You're established in it. But I'm going to remind you." And guess what? Doesn't that kind of embody iron sharpeneth iron? So doth a man sharpen the countenance of his friends? Doesn't that kind of give heed to what the Bible says? Till we all come in the unity of the faith, right? As one body in Christ. And we should be sharing those things just for instance, I have the privilege of getting to share with you what God has shown me. I count that a privilege. You're my outlet, okay? So I don't become just a dead sea, right? I mean, I could sit in my office and I could study for hours and hours and hours and then just, you know, preach to myself. Wouldn't that be kind of odd? I mean, that fit in with my personality being odd, but what good would that do me? And what good would that do you? Right? But we all can have a part of that. Let me just ask you a question. Who's your outlet? Maybe your kids? That's good. Grandkids? Good. Family? Friends? Coworkers? Right? I mean, you need to have an outlet. And who are you putting in remembrance of these things? Because maybe if we're not, perhaps we're being negligent. Because to whom much is given, much is required. There's kind of a thing here that we need to pay attention to, that this is something for all of us. In verse 13, he says, yeah, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He's like, as long as I'm here in this body of flesh, this is my job. This is what I'm called to. And by the way, look, we are supposed to minister to others. We're supposed to stir up and put into remembrance things one to another. Doesn't that make us all better? It does, right? Isn't that encouraging? I love talking to people about things and in the scriptures and about principles and. And you know, we ought to figure some things out. That's a good thing. And so he goes on to say this, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I'll backtrack. In verse 16, he gives a reason. He says, 12, 13, 14, 15, he's talking about remembrance. He's talking about stirring up these things and not being negligent to remember these things and being established in these things and knowing these things and all that stuff, right? And then he gives a reason. He says four, right? Four. There's a reason why. Folks, there's a reason why. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. So let me just put this into perspective now, and then we'll get into the rest of the message. Yeah, okay. All right. The rest of the world is following cunningly devised fables. Okay? We're not. That's why it's important for us to put people in remembrance. You know what? When these things, we'll just use a thing today, that's prevalent in our society. Okay, we'll just talk about just very quickly this gender issue. Okay, that's a cunningly devised fable. And I'm okay with standing up and saying, no, that's not true. No, that's not right. And it feels like even some older people in our society that have lived life and have lived life before this whole nonsense has come about, I feel like I have to put them in remembrance of what a male is and what a female is. Okay, that may sound stupid to you because it sounds stupid to me, but I have to remind them that there was a time, not very many years ago, that this was not even an issue. And it's a fable. It is fake. It is not real. Y'all okay with that, right? It is. And I'm not the crazy one. I'm not the one that's a dummy. I studied science in school. I studied biology. I dissected things. Just like you did. And it is. But now we have to somehow convince people that it is. And fight a battle that it is. That's not much different than what's happening in quote-unquote religion. About our God. And about this book. And about the things. Folks, we just have to stand up and say, this is the Word of God. I don't care what you say. I'm going to remind you that this is the Word of God. I'm going to stir up in your minds the remembrance that this is the Word of God. I'm not going to be negligent. I'm not just going to sit back and let it happen. You say, but Pastor, if you speak up about this, people are going to come against you. Okay. They came against Christ. They came against the apostles. They came against the New Testament church. Let them come. They've come against our Baptist forefathers. Let them come. Because I'm not going to be negligent. And as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to put you in remembrance. Why? It's my job. Not just as a pastor, but as a Christian. You know what's wrong with America today? What's wrong with America today is not that the lost people are doing what lost people do. You understand that, right? The problem with America today is that Christians are negligent. Sorry. It's the truth. Don't be negligent. Have the spirit of Peter, where you're going to say, like verse 12 says, wherefore I will not be negligent. Get up in the morning and purpose that you will not be negligent. Now, you don't have to be rude. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be... I just thought of this word. Brother Lucy, you're going to appreciate this. You don't have to be uncouth. How many of you haven't heard that word for a while, right? Yeah. I don't know why that just popped in my brain. It just did. I hope I used it right. you don't have to be like that. Okay? You can be kind, right? Your speech, right? Seasoned with grace, right? You understand? That's how it should be. I mean, we should love speaking the truth in love. Absolutely. But tell the truth. Bring into remembrance. Hey, it's okay to say to people, you know, there was a time when our nation, if you will, as a whole, believed in God. Our country was founded upon Christian principles. Brother Nichols, you teach history, right? No, math. You teach math. I don't know why I think you teach history. You know history, right? Okay? Amen. But anyways, you know, in history, we some of us have taught history and know history. But that's what our country was founded upon. Why is it wrong for us to bring people into remembrance about that? We need to. And certainly about the things of God. Listen, it's okay to bring to remembrance some things in Christians' lives. That's what preaching is. You understand that every time I preach, I'm not doing it to tickle your ears. I want to bring you in remembrance. If that means stepping on your toes, I'm going to step on your toes. If that means punching you in the gut, then I guess I'm going to have to punch you in the gut. If it means slapping you across the face, then I might have to do that. Because truth is truth, and sometimes it hurts. But I'm not going to be negligent. Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent. And he says, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I got to find this now because I told you I got ahead of myself, but I'm going to come back to it. That word meet just simply means necessary. Okay? When he says, I think it meet, he says, I think it necessary to put you in remembrance. In other words, it's important. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, it's paramount. It is important for me. It's meet for me to put you in remembrance. And that's what Peter's trying to get across. So here's a few things for us to consider and a few scriptures to think about as we think about not just the preacher's job, but our job as Christians as a whole. By the way, let me just say as an aside, if the church would have this attitude as a whole, you think we'd make a little more headway? I think so. First of all, preaching is to help remind us most of what we already know, but have forgotten. How many of you have been in church for an extended period of time? Raise your hands. It's okay. All right. Good. Most of you, right? All right. Maybe more than 5 years. Okay. That's pretty much all of us, right? How many of you can think of, you've been basically been in church your whole life, as far as you know? I'll raise my hand. Okay. 46 years. As far as I know, I've always been in church. All right. Can I tell you, I've heard a lot of preaching. I've heard a lot of teaching. I've read through this book many times. I don't even know how many times, okay? Do you suppose there's some things that I already know that I've forgotten? Absolutely, right? How about you? Anybody? Yeah. How many of you could tell me what I preached last Sunday morning? You know, that's I don't even know if I could tell you what I preached last Sunday morning. Oh, it's fasting. We were talking about fasting. Okay, good. The rewards of fasting. Thank you, Brother Losey. I'm glad you could remember. But, amen. But, preaching helps remind us of things. Puts us in what? Remembrance of these things. Hey, there's sometimes preaching is to help us learn to accept things as true that we're not ready to accept as true. You understand that the world today has twisted our minds? It has. And when we first hear what God has to say, it's kind of like that sound on the chalkboard with your fingernails. Right, it's like, right, and you're like that, right? Because it's clashing with what's been ingrained in your mind. And you're like, is that real? It is? God, you said that, but that's what we've always done. Right? And let me just ask you this. Hey, this is a little interactive sermon tonight, okay? You're okay with that? Has there been something preached by the preacher that is the Word of God? True, I'm not talking about false teachings and things like that, okay? And the first time you heard it, you're like, whoa, really? Nah, that can't be right. And then later on, you came to realize that, oh, my thinking has been worldly thinking. And, oh, this is what I need to conform to what God says. And God really believes. That's what God's word really says. And that really is what's true. And what I thought was truth is not true. You understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes that's what preaching does to us and does for us. You understand that sometimes preaching requires uncompromising rebuke and warning. This should always be taken and accepted, right? How many times, just be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, but just be honest with yourself. How many times have you heard preaching that was kind of a rebuke or kind of a chastisement, if you will, and you did not accept it well? Right? I tell you what, I've had punishments in my life as a son from my parents that I did not receive well. Right? And I should have received it well. Because they were trying to help me. Sometimes the preacher's just trying to help you and you take offense at it. And you become bitter. And you get away from God instead of coming to God. And does that happen in people's lives? It does. And so we need to understand that what Peter's trying to say, he's not trying to turn them away, if you will. He's trying to emphasize the importance of being put into remembrance of this truth that they're established in. It's a present truth. It's with them now. They know it. And he's going to do everything in his power to help them remember it. Both in this body now and after he's gone. Why? Because it's not a cunningly devised fable. Why? Because it is the truth. It is valuable. It is worth fighting for. It is. And we need to treat it that way. Here's a few passages of scripture to help us realize the depth of this. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul writes, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Okay, so is this important to Paul? Absolutely. And is he doing it to shame them? No. What is he doing it for? To warn them. To help them. Because he loves them. And he feels responsible for, if you will, for their birth in Christ, right? He shared the gospel with them. He's not going to be negligent. And as long as he's in this body, he's going to bring them into remembrance. Do you get that sense from the Apostle Paul? So do I. In John chapter 14, Jesus having a conversation with his disciples, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So Jesus said, hey, I'm here with you. I'm sharing these things with you. I'm teaching you these things. I'm bringing these things into remembrance for you. I'm doing all this. And then he says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So not only did Paul give the great commission to these preachers like Peter and like Paul, but he also gave us the Holy Spirit to do the same thing in us. To bring us into remembrance. And to stir us up into remembrance. Because it's important. Why is that one of the offices that the Holy Spirit holds, if you will, to bring us into remembrance. To teach us all things, right? We know he has the office of conviction, right? The lost unto salvation and the saved unto fellowship, right? But he also has the office of putting us into remembrance of the things that Jesus has taught us from his word. That's valuable, is it not? So if that's valuable to us, then we should have that attitude toward others. How many of you have been given, I'm going to put this in a nice way because it is nice, have been given a difficult circumstance to go through that God knew you were able to bear so that you could know and understand and help somebody else? Why does he do that? Because it's valuable, right? Whether it's, you know, a medical situation or a family situation. You understand what I'm talking about, right? Well, okay. So if God does that in our physical relationships, right? You'd call that physical, mental, or whatever relationships, right? To help another person cope with what they're going through. And we can say, I've been through that. I can understand that, right? What's the difference between that and spiritual things? Do you walk with God? Do you read the Word of God? Do you meditate in and study the Word of God? But yet you don't share it with anyone? Yet you don't put anyone else in remembrance of these things? Do you see what I'm saying here? I'm trying to extend this to you, not just to me as the preacher. And we need to understand that that's valuable. And we could do that. 1 Timothy 4, Paul says this, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about these things that Peter was talking about, these cunningly devised fables. It's a thing. By the way, out soul winning yesterday, I had a chance to talk to a young man, and they go to a different church, but he gave me his testimony a little bit, and he said that he used to be Catholic. And God showed him through the reading of the Word of God that that wasn't the right way, and he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And you know what? I'm sorry if you have Catholic friends or family or whatever. That's a cunningly devised fable. If you want the history, I can tell you, just look up Constantine. Catholicism is a cunningly devised fable. It is. And by the way, he was one of those evil, mad geniuses. Because has it worked? Has it deceived many? Oh, yeah. No, I'm not for his work. I'm not praising him, by the way. You understand that. It's worked. And it's deceived millions. Even... that should even be more of a reason why we should have the wherefore I will not be negligent attitude. That as long as we're in this tabernacle, we're going to stir people up by putting them in remembrance. Over in 2 Timothy, Paul again is speaking to Timothy, saying, I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and hath called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Woo! If that doesn't stir you up, I don't know what can. You ought to just grab a squirt gun and just want to charge hell with a squirt gun with those words. You ought to just want to go out and just look somebody in the face and that's promoting this world's propaganda today and say, that's not true. This is true. This is truth. In James chapter 1, James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Folks, we're supposed to remember and be put into remembrance and put people into remembrance of these things. Why? They're valuable. Why? They're not cunningly devised fables. Why? Because they've been made known to us from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the scriptures. By the way, can I remind you that not everybody has access to this book. God allowed you to be born here in this country, those of you that were born in this country. If you weren't born in this country, God allowed you to come to this country. You probably have a dozen Bibles in your home. I know by virtue of number of people, I have more than that in my home. I, in my own self, own probably 10 or 12 Bibles. But what am I doing with them? And if I just consume them for myself, I would consider that kind of a loss in many ways. Now, although, please, I'm not trying to diminish the importance of personal Bible study. That's important. But just to let it just sit inside of me, is that good enough? It needs to come out. It needs to come out in my life. It needs to come out in my thoughts and the way I behave. It needs to come out in my words. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm not going to be negligent. So Peter's encouraging them. And we're going to talk about some of these other things too, but I want to drive home this point tonight to help us understand. In our church, every month that has five Sundays, that Sunday evening, we go through what we call the Lord's Supper. Can I tell you something? Is that because we don't know what the Lord's Supper is? It's not. It's because We need to be reminded. Something needs to be stirred up in us every once in a while so that we remember the great cost and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for us. And we need that just kind of prodded and poked in our mind's eye, if you will. Right? So that we remember the value and the urgency and the sacredness and the just all of the things that go with what Jesus did for us to provide for us salvation. And that's why Paul says what he says and writes what he writes to those in 1 Corinthians. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." Folks, there needs to be an urgency to the importance of the task of preaching. There needs to be an urgency to the importance of the task of sharing the Word of God and bringing into remembrance these things. There's an urgency because this life is short. How much time do you have to do this? Peter said, hey, I know that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Peter said, God's kind of showed me that my time is short, that I'm not going to be here much longer. And if you read in Fox's Book of Martyrs, you can read the account of Peter and his death as history records it. And it wasn't short. It wasn't long after this writing of 2 Peter that he went home to be with the Lord in martyrdom. I don't know how much time I have. I'm about to be 47 years old if I make it to that. I may have tonight. I may have 40 more years. I don't know. That's why there needs to be an urgency. We need to have that kind of urgency. I think Peter was trying to express to them, not for to lift himself up, saying, hey, look, I'm something special. But maybe to say, hey, Christians, you need to do this too. Because this is worth it. These are things that I was an eyewitness to, and we're going to talk about that as we move along to verse 16 and 17. But I want you to understand that our life is short. Solomon said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. James reminded Christians, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Guess what that means? We shouldn't say, I'll do it later. We should say, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm not going to be negligent. We need to have that devotion. We need to have that drive. In Colossians, Paul writes and says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And what was Paul able to say at the end of his life? I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know, God kind of showed to Paul that his time was short. God seemed to show to Peter that his time was short. And in all, for all intents and purposes, honestly and truly, no matter how much time we have in this life, it's short. It really is. And it's like a vapor. Just think of 2024. It's like a vapor. It's appeared for a little time. It's almost vanished away already. It goes by quickly. And we need to do all we can to serve our Savior.